Coverage rolling right along here at the Winter Classic at the Cotton Bowl, live here in Dallas. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe here ringside. We have had a loaded show, and that continues with Brian Boucher, NBC Sports. Of course, he will be behind the goalies tomorrow, behind the net, not in between the benches like he is a lot, but the coverage will be Pierre, Brian. We had Doc Emmerich on earlier, and so it's going to be a fun day. And of course, you can listen to it here starting I'll have pregame for you at noon. We'll have a special hour before that, should have Gary Bettman, NHL commissioner, stop by. But Brian, how you doing?
I'm doing well. Great to be on with you guys once again.
Well, it is our first Winter Classic, so we're really excited, and sitting here at this gigantic football stadium, and know that tomorrow it'll be filled up with crazy rowdy fans to watch a hockey game is pretty cool.
Yeah. These events, I got to play in one as a player. Well, I backed up. I didn't play. But don't let the details get in the way of a good story. It just amazes me. Every year, you know, you come to a new venue, and they can kind of transform it into a hockey arena. And when you get down by the ice level, it feels like a normal rink. And the way it presents itself on TV, it looks fantastic. The fans support it. It truly is a great celebration of the game to be playing outdoors, which a lot of these guys did do growing up. I know the game is growing in the southern markets, and maybe there's less and less of the outdoor hockey, but for a lot of these guys, they grew up playing outside.
You wouldn't understand this because you played it, so yes, of course you understand it. But I always have said, Brian, that fans, not just in hockey, but the two sports that I really think of are hockey and football. I've always said, man, if you could ever watch a game right here where we are, right here on the glass, or in football down on the field, because you'll walk away with a totally different perspective and appreciation for how incredible these athletes are.
Yeah, I mean, I can speak specifically to hockey, just, you know, because it's a sport that I know, and you know, I don't want to say I'm an expert, but you know, I had my whole life in it. I mean,
yeah.
To the casual fan on TV, I understand it can be a tough watch, maybe a tough game to understand if you don't know the rules. But when you go to a game live and you get, you know, as close as you can to the ice surface, and you see how tremendous these athletes are, how fast they are, how quick they can think, and then you can actually see the puck live, you know, which certainly helps. I don't think you need to even understand, you know, the rules inside the game. You can understand, hey, the concept is we got to get inside the other goal and watch guys make plays. And everybody understands the concept, that whether it's basketball or football or whatever sport you may play, or soccer, that you got to move the puck, or you got to move the ball. And in hockey, and you see guys make plays, and you can start to appreciate their skill when you're here watching it live. And it's only getting faster, and it's only getting more skilled. These kids that are coming up now, they're so talented. This game's in a really good spot.
Yeah, no doubt. I wanted to ask you about the position you played, because I feel like, I don't want to say a changing of the guard, I think it's just a different mentality. And we've probably, I hate to keep using the football references, but for a long time, back when you played on the football side, there and goalies, right? You had kind of that workhorse goalie, the guy that would play predominantly, I don't know, 60, 65 games a year is the number one goalie. And in football, that running back would get the ball 30 times in a game. And you don't see that anymore, right?
Yeah.
It's about, you know, sharing the workload. Well, now we're starting to see goalies share the workload.
Yeah.
And now coaches are not afraid to just go back and forth and just, or in some cases, just ride the hot hand or just keep going back and forth.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
I love it. And I was a guy that struggled at being a number one in the league. For a large chunk of my career, I think I just couldn't handle that 65-game workload. And it was more not physical, it was mental. You know, to know that night after night you had to come up with an A performance. You know, that was the hardest part. And this was in a time when the parity in the league wasn't like it is today. So now you fast forward to today. We got 31 teams in the league. We'll have 32 when Seattle comes in. But Vegas was an expansion club that made it to the Stanley Cup Finals, and they were a very talented, skilled, fast team. When I came into the league in 99, Nashville had been an expansion team. Columbus was an expansion team. The Atlanta Thrashers were an expansion team. We could have gone into those games with half our lineup playing and on most nights win those games.
Right.
Not the case anymore. There are no layups in the National Hockey League. So for a goaltender, you think about that, the pressure's on every single night to give a quality start, you know, where you can be one of the top three stars every single night to give your team a chance to win. That's a lot of pressure. I feel like the no red line now is led to offense being created more easily. I think the scoring chances are up night after night. You know, it's not uncommon to see 25 scoring chances against a particular goaltender on a night. And you do that for 10 straight games, that's going to wear on you mentally. And not only physically. I mean, you start going, having to go east-west and, you know, make those saves. It's taxing. So you need two guys, and I think you got to believe in both guys. You got to give the mental rest to the starter or whoever you're going to primarily go to in the playoffs. But you also have to have the confidence in the second guy that if you need to turn to him in a crucial time in a playoff series, that it's not just a, you know, you're not just hoping for a prayer here. You know that this guy can give you a quality start.
So sticking with the goalie conversation, when you look at the Nashville Predators and Pekka-Rinne, UC Saros, they've split some time this year, and both have struggled at times. Both mm-hmm. have had some bright spots and some big games, but that's something that we're not used to talking about in this market, because the Predators have been spoiled with pretty good goaltending over the years.
Yeah, and, you know, I always want to be the guy that sort of defends the goaltenders to a certain degree. But I'm also a realistic guy, too. If you talk to UC Saros or Pekka-Rinne, I'm sure they would tell you that there's some saves that they can make in there, you know, that they can be better, timely saves that they can come up with. Every goaltender will hold themselves accountable that way. But, you know, just in the last two games in particular, if you watch those games, I mean, the chances that were in front of Rinne and Saros in those games, I mean, the players, in some cases, they were there. And yet they didn't have anybody. Like, it was just a little too loose, you know what I mean? And you give up those chances, and yeah, they're going to go in once in a while. And I think for the Preds, I think they got to tighten up defensively, number one. Allow their goaltenders to kind of regain their confidence a little bit. Because, you start looking at your save percentage and have it at 890, 894, I don't care who you are. You look at those numbers, and you're going to come to the rink feeling bad about yourself.
Yep.
So they've got to start to look at it in a small picture, maybe a 4 or 5 game segment, feel good about a good 4 or 5 game segment, defend better, let them get their confidence, and then the new year, hope that the tides turn, and you're looking at, you know, and you know, the stats before January 1 and then the stats after January 1, and hopefully it's a lot better for the Preds.
The one thing that always stood out to me with Rinne early in his career is he had to play consistently. He couldn't, you know, have a couple starts here and then take a game off. When he did, he struggled. And as he's gotten older, he's had to, I guess, kind of go back to, you know, maybe not playing as many starts in a row. Yeah. How difficult is it as a goaltender to adjust to that when you're so used to just being the workhorse?
Yeah, and that can be tough for a starting goaltender because they're so used to, you know, not practicing as hard as maybe the backup does. They can get off the ice earlier. They can manage their workload and practice. They get into a groove with their game day routine. But, you know, you start going 4 or 5 days in between starts consistently, or even longer than that sometimes, that's hard for a starting guy who's used to being in a groove like that. Now you got to practice differently. You know, you got to get some work in and practice that maybe you otherwise weren't doing. And also the game prior kind of hangs with you a little bit longer. When you know you're going out the next day, you kind of like, okay, here's another day, and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to shake that last one off. Those, as a backup, those starts that you give up, you know, 5 goals and you got to sit for the next 2 weeks, those are the starts that stick with you, you know, and that's the tough part for a backup to get over. And for starters, they've not really had to do that. So they got to kind of rewire their brains to understand that they're not going to get back out there tomorrow, and it might take a week before they get in the net again. So that can be a difficult thing, but I think that's why now getting the other guy in there, it's beneficial. It's not like you're asking the starter to sit 3 weeks, but sitting, you know, 5 days can be good in the long run for the body and the mind.
You played for Peter Laviolette in Philadelphia, so you've been in those locker rooms with him. You know what he is about. You look at the Predators right now and the ups and the downs that they've had this season, the inconsistencies. It's been here 6 years now. What do you see from him? How do you see him adjusting? Because he's had to be in these situations before, but to help pull them out of this starting with the game tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, I think every coach runs into the situation where maybe their message is getting a little stale from time to time. The one thing I will say about Peter Laviolette is he's constantly thinking about ways to motivate his players and find ways to, you know, short term, you know, think about a goal or, you know, something that can motivate the group, that gets them stop thinking about maybe what is plaguing them and maybe think about something that can motivate you to get you through a tough time. So from that, I know that he's probably going back to the drawing board and thinking of ways to do that right now. But this happens with every coach. I think that you run into a situation, you've had pretty much a lot of the same players here for a long time, and you just you're in a situation where you need to get through some tough days during the season. This is not the fun time of the year, truthfully. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like January, February, these are tough months in the NHL schedule, and even you can put Christmas time in there too because there's a lot of distractions. I believe in this team. When I look at their roster, I mean, I still think they've got one of the best back ends in the National Hockey League. Do their goaltenders need to be better? Sure. They can be better. I think there's better hockey to be played near, and I don't think they're going to get any worse. So I think that's something to be positive about. I think they need to tighten up a little bit defensively, get back to, you know, protecting, you know, their zone first and foremost. And then from there, the offense can come. I think they've got the offensive players to do it. They've had to deal with, you know, the injury to Arvidsson. You know, that certainly, you know, was time away from a guy that can be a glue-type player. Sissons will be out now for a little bit, but I still think this is a team that, even with the additions that they do have in Duchesne, guys like Johansson can pick up their game, Turris can pick up their game. There's guys that can elevate, but I think on the back end, they still got one of the best back ends in the league. I still think their goaltenders are going to play well for them in the second half, and when you have that, that's more than a lot of teams have. So Laviolette will get back to the drum, but get these guys going. I just think they're in a bit of a tough part of the schedule, tough part of the year, where they just got to get through it. I mean, if they get through on the other side, I think we're going to see some better hockey from them in the second half.
Last thing, you said you went through this as a player. What is it like? Because this is not just any old game.
This is
the Winter Classic. You are the only game in the National Hockey League. You're kicking off a new calendar year, and in this case, it'll be in front of 85, 90,000 and millions of people at home. So what's it going to be like tomorrow, let's say an hour from puck drop or right before puck drop?
I think the biggest thing to me is just the distractions that are involved with it. You know what I mean? Will the Predators practice today? I mean, that's the one thing I'm curious to see if they're going to get out here and skate. Is the first time they're going to get on this ice surface for warm up tomorrow? That's a little bit different. But it's just managing. You know, it's kind of like a spectacle. You know, it feels like the Stanley Cup final in that sense. You get more media attention. There's a lot of things pulling at you from the off ice side of it. Maybe you got family here and tickets, and that can be distracting. Once the game starts, they'll be fine because they're in their normal environment. It's just the stuff leading up to it. It's not the normal game day or day before a game for these guys, and they just have to manage that and make sure, hey, look, we're not getting distracted by, you know, family coming in or anything like that, and just when the puck drops, be ready to play, and then it'll all be normal. But if you get caught up in all the other stuff, you know, and you get distracted and maybe you're not ready to play come 1 o'clock tomorrow, that's where you can fall behind and maybe you don't have the 60 minutes to catch up.
Yep. Good to see you as always.
Yeah,
Happy New Year.
Yeah,
enjoy the
too.
Game tomorrow.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Brian Boucher, NBC Sports. He'll be here tomorrow, part of their coverage around the Winter Classic, Predators and Stars. We'll come back with more here of Darren, Donick, and Chase on ESPN 102.5 The Game.